Patience, kindness, and goodness. That was my subject today. When you think of patience, what do you think of? Give me one word.
Forbearance.
Okay. Perseverance. Those were not the first words that came to my mind. What if you're patient in line? Waiting.
Children.
That's true, too. You guys are way ahead of me, because some of these are my points. I always think initially waiting. Patience means you have to wait. But when I studied this particular topic, I was surprised it's just a small amount. The things that were mentioned, the forbearance, the perseverance, that's all a part of it. Patience is a really multi-faceted word. Especially the biblical patience that we are to have, and I really enjoyed getting to know that. As we go through all these, you still can't hear me? Yeah, it's coming out of the speaker.
Move it up.
Janice,
move it
get
up.
Yourself a hearing aid.
Well, I'm fine.
Okay. You can hear it.
I don't think it's
yeah, it is, but it's not very good. We'll get it looked at. All right. These characteristics, especially the fruit of the Spirit, really have a tendency to overlap. You know, we talked last week, we talked about peace and how you need to have patience for peace. You know, it's you've got to understand that things are going. Is that coming from
yeah.
the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about trying to?
I'll try the other one. I'm going to turn this off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patience. It's on.
Hello. Is that better? Well, come no. Sorry, I made you laugh. All right, these characteristics are going to overlap. Especially kindness and goodness. I got to be patient with this class today. Also, these characteristics will help develop other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when you're lacking in one, that really does affect the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. That's why they call it the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit. They're all interacting. And when you're struggling with one, it is going to affect the others. There's no question about it. So each one of these characteristics that we want to go through, we want to examine our hearts, see where we stand before the Lord, and see what changes we need to make. Wonderful to see all your faces. I love it that we're spilling out over here. Attendance doesn't mean anything, but it does mean that you are interested. I mean, there's no financial benefit to come here today. There's only spiritual benefit. And that you're here is testimony that you want to change in some areas. And that's so encouraging to us as teachers, that you want to change. And it makes me want to change even more. Patience. Okay. This is the definition. The one I liked the best was, this is used to describe a godly reaction to a variety of situations. I wouldn't think of that as a definition for patience, but it is. It is your godly reaction to a variety of situations. But there's different aspects of patience, and that's what we're going to look at. Probably the hardest one, I don't know, we may each have our own hardest one, is this first one here. Patient in suffering mistreatment. The word long-suffering is best described here. A quote from the book I used said, "This aspect of patience is the ability to suffer a long time under the mistreatment of others," but it doesn't stop there, "without growing resentful or bitter." That's the deal. We can withstand some mistreatment, and we can withstand it, we can keep quiet about it, but real godly patience does not become bitter or resentful in that situation. That's the tough thing. You got to deal with the heart with that. There are many situations this can be exercised. And once again, got to remember that it is a fruit of the Spirit. This generated as an unbeliever will not be successful. You will not have consistent patience. It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through your life to help you become patient. So it has to be bathed in prayer. and with the help of the Holy Spirit. This could be an unbelieving spouse, working for a boss that's unreasonable, teenage kids that continue to say awful things to you. It includes anyone who ridicules or scorns or insults and persecutes you for no reason other than the other person's sinful nature. We all have sinful natures, and some people exhibit it more often. But we have to, patience is what we need to deal with these people in a godly way. There are just some people that tend to arouse our anger. You can think right now, what are the people that kind of get underneath my skin? And that's what we're talking about today. How patient are you, especially when we're treated unfairly? And how do you know when you're not being patient? You know, sometimes we don't even know. There's some really, really laid-back people in this room. And you may misinterpret that as, I'm very patient. But that's not the deal. The reaction to not being patient is usually anger. I had to think about that. If I'm not patient, I'm angry. You're in the line. You have to get somewhere. You start getting testy. You start getting angry. Why isn't she doing that? Why in the world is that checker doing it that way? You know, we start to get angry in our mind. So anytime you are thinking you're getting angry about something, you are lacking patience for that particular moment. When patience runs thin, there's some awesome verses to think about. Turn to James 1 if you're not there. And this is concerning anger. When I think of patience, the opposite of patience is anger in this particular aspect of patience. James 1, 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Keep that in mind. Even when your anger is justified, anger does not achieve the righteousness of God. And then you don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, but I'm going to read off the characteristics of love and think of the ones that need patience. Love is patient. Ah, that's number one. I mean, it's the first thing that's mentioned. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked. That's patience. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's patience. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. That's patience. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's patience. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 characteristics of love that require godly patience. So that's why it's really important that we have this. One of the most disturbing thoughts for a Christian sometimes is the issue of justice. Okay, I'm being patient in this mistreatment. When am I going to get mine? When am I going to get my reward? When will this person get theirs? That's mostly what we're thinking of. I want them to suffer for this. And that's just how our mind works. We'll turn to 1 Peter 2. And this is really key. This has become one of my favorite verses to being patient with being mistreated. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So here's an example. Christ has done this. Scripture tells us this is an example for me. So let's read them. Since it is example, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but, and here's the key, kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And that is a mindset, ladies, that's not I'm gonna grin and bear it here. This is the mindset. I'm just gonna entrust myself to Christ who judges righteously. We can trust that. It is a matter of faith. The more I go through studying patience, the more the direct relation it is. The more patient I am, the more faith I have in God. You think, oh, I have faith in God, that's fine. No, the more we have faith in the God, the more we're going to exhibit patience toward one another, toward suffering. Because I'm entrusting him, I'm trusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Go ahead and turn to Romans 12 then. And this is just an encouragement of how he could judge righteously. You know, what am I entrusting? I'm entrusting myself to him. Okay, well, that's nice, but what does that mean? Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Oh, wow, really? I really have to do that? Why? Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Not I might repay, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good, with good. So here's why we can entrust him to do what is right. It's because he says, I will, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And the more you start trusting in God, and the more you start realizing that he, what he says in his word is true, you're going to be a lot more patient. You're going to exhibit that godly patience that you want. It's not something that's manufactured. It's an attitude of the heart. I know the Lord will take care of this. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, he wants what's best for you. And he has guaranteed in his word that he will repay. That should give you a calm. That should take that situation that you're frustrated with and think, okay, I'm good. And, you know, the issue of justice, if it comes up in your mind, understand the Lord has his perfect timing. And we don't necessarily know when that is. We have to trust him. A patient Christian who leaves suffering, who suffers, leaves the issue of justice in the hands of God. And he is confident that God will render justice in his timing. Therefore, a big factor in developing patience, like I said, is a growing conviction that God is faithful. If we don't believe God will do what he says, then we won't be patient to wait on the Lord, and we will take matters into our own hands. 1 Peter 4:19, did I write that on there? Okay, 1 Peter 4:19 just says, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Wow, that's a great summary for that section. I'm going to entrust my soul to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And the perspective of your situation should diminish when you start thinking of those things. We have one responsibility when we're mistreated. Act godly. That's it. We don't have to help with the vengeance. We don't have to help God in any area. We just have to keep entrusting our soul to the faithful Creator. That's simple. It's just not easy. All right, tolerating shortcomings in others. This aspect of patience doesn't involve others treating you poorly. You just don't like the way they do things. You know, it bugs you. I mean, if I sat up here and just started talking like that all the time, and, you know, that would probably be a little bit irritating. The point wouldn't get across, but you'd still have to love me anyway. I just may not be teaching anymore. That's people are always behaving in a way, though not directed at us, that affect us and irritate us or disappoint us because of their faults and failures. I mean, there could be times there are faults and failures. Examples of this could be a driver ahead of you that doesn't see the light is green, and you've got an appointment to get. A friend who is late for something you'd planned, and it's put you behind. A neighbor who doesn't mow his lawn as nicely as he should, because it makes the neighborhood. All these little things that are not biblical issues, but that person just irritates me. We all have them, no matter how wonderful you are. We all have people that just really get under our skin. Now, this is a statement in the book. Impatience with others, with the shortcomings of others, has its roots in, what do you think?
Sin.
Well, sin, yeah. Pride. I heard it over there. Let me say that impatience with the shortcomings of others often has its root in pride. Why?
Because I can do it
better. Yeah. Because I know a better way to do this, and you're not doing it. It's pride. So we have to deal with the shortcomings of others with forbearance. Slanderous comments usually come from us, and the process of slander is always trying to build yourself up and tearing them down. Anytime you slander someone, you are building yourself up and tearing them down. 1 Corinthians 4:7, you don't have to turn to this one, but who regards you as your superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? Just remember that. If you have insight on things, be thankful for that. But we need to tolerate one another. And forbearance is the main word in this particular passage that comes to mind about tolerating shortcomings with others. Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, you know this, so I'm just going to read it to you. I just wanted you to have the reference. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent. Do you remember what the rest is? Why do we want to be patient and tolerant with one another? Preserving the peace in the body of believers. That's why you're tolerant with me. That's why I'm tolerant with you. Because my goal, or God's goal for us, is to have peace in the body of believers. Usually scripture, I want to say all the time, but I'm going to say usually, scripture always gives a reason for why we want this. Why he says, you know, be patient with one. Well, why do I have to? He doesn't have to tell us why, but he usually does. It's for the peace. If we're all nitpicking about, you know, Chris, I don't like the way you do your hair. I don't like the way you dress. You know, there's going to be a lack of peace in that body. And we need to create the most peaceful situation in this body, because the world does not have this peace. The world is always looking to be critical. And 1 Peter 4:8, I don't think I put that on there. You know, it covers a multitude of sins when we love one another too. And Gil always uses the example of newlyweds. I mean, it's just quite disgusting with Andrew and Vanessa in the house. They just absolutely love each other. You know, everything is wonderful. I'm going to say, oh, that's going to irritate you in about 3 years. You know, so, I know you like that now, but I know. But they are overlooking their issues, that overlooking things. So, all right, waiting on God. This is the aspect of waiting. It is the patient waiting on the outworking of God's timetable in our lives. And so when we wait on God, it's the aspect of patience, is the waiting on the outworking of God's timetable in my life. This could be praying for salvation for a loved one, a resolution of a problem that's been going on for a long time, or even waiting for some godly desire that we have had for a long time. Abraham's long wait for the birth of his son is a classic biblical illustration of the need for patience on awaiting for God's timing. The fault we have that is similar to Abraham's is we sometimes don't want to wait for God's timing. We think we can do something to help this. King Saul was another example. Why did these men not wait, and why don't we wait? We are unwilling to wait on God because of the unbelief in the faithfulness of God. Once again, it goes back to, do I believe my God is faithful? If I'm not willing to wait on God, or I'm impatient with God, I don't like my situation, it's because I don't believe God is faithful to what he says. We have to look at the big picture. Psalm 41 and 2. David did wait on God. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. So the cure for impatience is just to simply believe God's promises, obey his will, and leave the results to him. Now, I know this seems real easy to say up here, but we can think about things in our lives where we're being impatient. And I wrote this down. If you are struggling with being patient with God, then you're probably struggling with God's faithfulness to you. And you'd say, no, I'm not. I'm not struggling with God. I know God's faithful. But if you're not being patient, that means you don't think what he's doing is right for your life. So it goes hand in hand. Persevering through adversity. I bet you guys, let's get to the kindness and goodness. Let's stop talking about this. Just as suffering mistreatment is our reaction to people, endurance and perseverance should be our reaction to circumstances. This is specifically considering circumstances. We've been talking about the relationship between me and other people concerning patience. But now when we're talking about, and endurance and perseverance works with people too, but this is more of the circumstances that I'm going through. Really liked how he separated these two. Endurance is the ability to stand up under adversity. Perseverance is the ability to progress in spite of it. So I like how he separated those two. There are many examples of saints in the Bible that persevered through many trials. Abraham, Job, Joseph, David, Paul. God gave us these examples for a reason. Go ahead and turn to Romans 15. You know, why did God give us all these incredible examples in the Bible of men and women? Why didn't he just tell us the way of salvation and that was it? And it says in Romans 15 here. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, for it is written, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Why? So that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Anytime you feel like giving up, anytime you don't feel like enduring, the scriptures are where you need to go for that encouragement. Read a story of someone who has gone through, that needed a lot of patience and a lot of perseverance and a lot of endurance. Endurance and perseverance in the Bible are, I found, were linked with two things. They're often associated with hope in the Bible. You know, four times Paul talks about endurance and perseverance in Romans in the context of hope. But patience and endurance is also associated with suffering. So hope and suffering are the two things, because when you're going through the suffering, you have to look for a hope. Once again, this is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't try to manufacture this just by what I'm telling you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So in summary of patience, in all of its aspects, long-suffering, forbearance, endurance, perseverance, it grows out of a trust and faith in God. You think sometimes when we talk about trust and obey, where there's no other way, really everything goes off of that. Your faith is evidence in how patient you are. All right, kindness and goodness. They're closely related and often used interchangeably, but there's a slight difference. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. That deals with the heart. Goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. That is the action. So, kindness is the inner disposition created by the Holy Spirit that causes us to be sensitive to the needs of others. Kindness is directly related to my sensitivity to you. It starts in Philippians 2, that with humility of mind, we need to regard one another as more important than yourselves. When I start getting in that mindset, kindness comes much easier. A quote in the book says, apart from God's grace, most of us naturally tend to be concerned about our own responsibilities, our problems, our plans. but the person who has grown in the grace of kindness has expanded his outside thinking, his thinking outside of himself and his interest, and has developed a genuine interest in the happiness and the well-being of those around him. It is the ability of putting your wants and needs aside and have an awareness of those around you and how you can be thoughtful to them. Unbelievers can be temporarily kind. Greg and I had a discussion about a lady in Syracuse that was the kindest lady that we had ever met, and we knew she wasn't a believer. So we really struggled with the aspect of Romans 3 where it says there's no one that does good, not even one. But then one time we found that her kindness was cloaked in, I want a good reputation. There's always a selfish motive for unbelievers being kind. It may not seem like it, but the Bible tells us no one does good without a selfish motive when they're an unbeliever. And so we have to keep that in mind. We don't want to have that. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to do kind things just because we love the Lord, because we want to be sensitive to the needs of others. And God is our example. God, it says in Scripture, was kind to all men. He was kind to the ungrateful. He was kind to the wicked, the utterly lost and hopeless and rebellious. Turn to Titus 3. And it's a great example of the kindness we need to show. Titus 3:3, for we also once were foolish. Do we believe this? Do we believe that we, well, yeah, Sally, I understand you, but no, I'm do we really believe that we had the potential to be all this? You know, that's the first step. Do I really believe I was that bad? For once also, we were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. What an unbelievable passage. That how awful we were. You know, I think if you were saved when you were younger, you don't realize how awful you could have been. I think we have an understanding of that. Some of you who were saved later in life know how bad you were. So we just have to remember how awful the potential of how awful we could be. If we want to be godlike, we must be kind to all men. You know someone who is genuinely kind as a pattern of their life? Most likely they are regarding others as more important than themselves, and that can't be done without the power of the Holy Spirit governing their lives. Okay, goodness. Goodness is the kindness in action, in words or deeds. It involves a deliberate deed that is helpful to someone else. And I like that word, deliberate. Means I've thought through. I didn't accidentally, you know, help you out here. It's a deliberate deed to help others. Acts 10:38 is described by John that Jesus went about doing good. Do we aspire to be like Christ? Then we must be continually sensitive to how we might meet the needs of others around us. And turn to Ephesians 2. The cool thing about doing good is not only are we commanded to do it, we were created to do it. And that's what Ephesians 2 talks about. God has given us a list of things to do. And this is a very familiar passage. For by grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2, 8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Isn't that incredible? So that we would walk in them. So He saved us not to just be whisked off to heaven. He saved us because He's got good works for me to do, specifically. But not just me, to every single person in this room that's a believer. He's got a list of good works that you are to be about, that you should walk in them. And walk means this is a way of life for me. Walking means way of life. I said that. Oh, the word walk suggests everyday experience, not the unusual or heroic. Sometimes we think, I got to do a good deed, it's got to be this great thing. No, it's everyday life. It's just maybe picking up something from the floor that somebody dropped. We're always thinking of the needs of others. The good deeds are also suggested in 1 Timothy 5, 9, and 10. You don't have to turn there. It talks about the widow that's put on the list. If she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works. So that's part of her good works. And you know what? Her good works were, and if she brought up children and she showed hospitality to strangers, washed the saints' feet, you know, good works for each one of us is different. You young moms, your good works is taking care of your kids. I mean, it's little specific things in our lives. For us older ladies, we need to look for areas where we can meet the needs of others. We have a little more time, so we can do that. We are to be about looking to do good works for others. But where does it start? It starts in the kindness. It starts in the heart. I'm going to be sensitive to the needs of others. I'm going to regard everyone as more important than myself. Then the good works flow from that. We don't do good works for others to see. Because God knows your heart. The less other people know, the more you're going to get rewarded. Keep that in mind. That can wait. Galatians 6:10, and I love this verse, says, "So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are in the household of faith." I love that verse. I'm to give you priority. So that's neat there. So I think I'll quit at that point. Just keep in mind all those aspects of patience. Patience is directly related to our faith in God. Kindness deals with the heart. Goodness deals with the actions. And all of it is a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, it cannot be generated in a God-pleasing way unless you have the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together, that these dear ladies want to come and learn more about you. I just pray that you will have opened their ears to just what you want them to hear and help them to act on this. You have given us a mighty vessel in the Holy Spirit to have lives that are pleasing to you. Help us never to be satisfied with, well, this is just the way I am. Help us to have a plan to change and give us the power to change. Thank you for those who want to change, and I pray that you will give them great success in doing things that are pleasing for you. In your precious name, amen.